Now the time or the place. Finally, the 30th day. Now, surprisingly, having finished the exercises, then, finished, as you know, the spiritual exercise of the book, he talks about the three methods of prayer. And I thought that was a good place to finish the exercises. What are we talking about? We're talking about a system called a method of engaging in prayer for the rest of our lives. And these three methods, first, these three methods are the nature of an overview of the exercises. You might ask, why spend the final day of the exercises in concentrating on methods of prayer? Well, the reason is that whatever else the exercises should do for us, they should make us men and women of prayer. There are three recommended methods. So the meditations, 88, 89, and 90. Meditating, for example, and the choice is wide, for example, on the Ten Commandments, on the seven capital sins, on the powers of the soul, on the senses. What's that got to do with prayer? No, really, everything. Because so much of the praying that people do, they can spend hours in prayer, but they aren't praying. They're there. They either preaching the thoughts or pronouncing the words. But their minds and their wills are not really involved. And consequently, I repeat, these are the examples that Ignatius gives. That, what do? Ignatius, you're not here talking about an examination of conscience. But, I reflect on the Ten Commandments. And he tells us, to beg for a perfect understanding and understanding of each commandment. I spent a good week here in Detroit on the Ten Commandments, 4 hours a day. What's the purpose of this first of the three meditations of the last day? It is that our minds may penetrate into what God wants us to do. Remember, in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the sower, sowing good seed. Seed falls, remember, on four different kinds of soil. The first three, nothing grows. The first of the first three, remembers, seed falling on the wayside. And when the disciples asked, "Oh Lord, what's this mean?" He had just said, "This seed falling by the wayside falls on hard, walked-on ground. The birds of the air come along and have a feast. They don't miss a single seed, depending on how many birds there are, how hungry they are. Well, there must be more to that parable." So they asked the Lord, "Yes, but what does it really mean?" Well, and this is so basic. Everything depends on it. Says, "Oh Lord, those symbolized by the pathway, seed falling on the pathway, and produces no fruit, are those who, having received the word of God, fail to understand it, and therefore, the devil comes along and steals it from their hearts." This is the most important thing that we need to do in our spiritual life, and I mean that to put it, the most important thing, to understand what Christ has revealed. And for us in our country, this is crucially important, because as you know, we are the most academically sophisticated nation in human history. We are not uneducated. That's not the problem. We're educated in everything, except for so many of our fellow Americans, in the one thing that really matters, what God revealed. No wonder he closed 42 churches and parishes in Detroit. No wonder. You don't have a community of nuns informing Cardinal Dearden, Reminence, mid-spring, this fall, they are leaving 31 parish schools in the Archdiocese of Detroit. You don't do that without disastrous consequences to tens of thousands of souls. And the handful of still, teaching villages left, as we also know, so many are not teaching what should be taught. In many cases, they don't even know what they're supposed to teach in the Catholic faith. So that's the purpose of the first method of prayer. Second method. Contemplating the meaning of each word of prayer. Now you might say, Is this more of the same? Or not quite? In trying to explain this to my own fellow Jesuits, I told them, we human beings are composites of body and soul. Our mind and will are faculties of the soul. But being human, we must use our body. We never have a thought even, as we first had sense experience. Have you heard the Latin expression? Nihil in intellectu, nisi prius in sensu. Nihil in intellectu, nisi prius in sensu. There was not the intellect, there was not in the intellect, this has first been in the senses. Have I ever had occasion, we don't have a blackboard here, have I ever given you what I call the iron law of destiny? No? I'll do my best without visual aid. It begins with the senses. Our destiny starts with our bodily senses. Eyes, ears, taste, our senses. Every sensation, as the word sensation in English has, kind of silly connotations. Every experience of the senses, every experience of the senses tends to become a thought. In other words, being human beings, we're not mere animals. We don't just have sense experience. The moment we have a sense experience, inevitably, instinctively, it tends to become a thought. Consequently, if I want to master my thoughts, the first numero primissimo in my life is to watch my sense experience. And the devil knows this, how well he knows this. So the sense experiences determine what our mind is going to think. And whatever you do during the exercises, in the name of our Lord, make some hard-nosed decisions on the use of the media. Otherwise, forget it. You've not made the exercises. Forget it. And the media include print, video, film, television, recording, computer. Second, this is sequence. These are laws. Every sense experience tends to become a thought. Number two, every thought tends to become a desire. Just because I have a thought on my mind, inevitably, infallibly, it has a built-in urge to become a desire. If then I want to master my desires, I've got no choice. I must control my thoughts. Must be 25 years ago that I read a book published by a professor at the University of Chicago. Title of the book, Thoughts Have Consequences. Thanks. Thoughts have consequences. There's no such thing as a sterile thought. Do you hear me? No such thing as a sterile thought. When we speak of our thoughts as conceptions of the mind, every thought tends to become a desire. If we want good desires, I've got to, well, conceive good thoughts. We go on. Every desire, just because it's a desire, tends to become an action. Now, the length of the time between a desire and an action may be very short, but no matter. If I want to control my actions, whether they are interior actions or external actions, I simply must master my desires. No choice. We do what we want. Well, that's only half of it. Every action tends to become a habit. Just because I've done anything, no matter how silly it may be, there's a built-in, inevitable tendency to do it again. And after I've done it 10 times, well, yours becomes stronger. Until after a while, you have what we call a habit. If we want to acquire good habits, what must we do? Well, watch our actions. And the actions, watch our desires. And the desires, watch our thoughts. And the thoughts, master our sense experience. But as you know, there are two kinds of habits. There are good habits and bad habits. What's another name for good habits? Virtues. What's another name for bad habits? Vice. When I was in high school, I was taught by the brothers of the Society of Merit. I think it was in second year, sophomore. I know I learned a lot. I can't remember every little I learned, but this I have not forgotten. The brother put on the board, printed, H-A-B-I-T. He said, fellas, watch your habits. You acquired a bad habit. You work at it. You struggle. Then he erased the H. And you still have a bit. And you work. And you pray. And you struggle. You erased the B. Oh, you erased the A. Still a bit. Then you work harder. You still struggle. Then he erased the B. And my friends, you still have it. The purpose of making these spiritual exercises is to acquire good habits and give up, abandon bad habits. We're not finished yet. Every habit tends to form our character. In theology, we distinguish between personality and character. Our personality is different and distinct for each human being from the moment of conception. The contribution of the parents is distinctive, each one of us. But especially the soul, which God creates and infuses into the body. No two souls, hear it, are ever created the same by God. No two. You mean we're different from the moment of conception? Yes. And by divine design. Isn't that neat? So why do we have problems practicing charity? There are so many eccentric people in the world. You know who's eccentric? Everybody but me. Because I am the center. I judge everybody's personality by my own. If each person is different from the moment of conception, but the character is what we contribute to that person's being formed. And the formation of character is synonymous with the formation of habits. And finally, we got to the end. And our character determines our destiny. In other words, either be eternally happy with God or eternally unhappy, separated from God. Depending on how, going back, and living in such a sense-preoccupied world as we are, to realize it begins with our sense experiences. Having said all of that, what does that have to do with meditation? 89. Contemplating the meaning of each word of a prayer. Being human beings and not angels, we can't even think, at least visually, having a word in our minds. We think only in words. Now what Ignatius is telling us to do is to get inside the word. The word is the body. Its meaning is its soul. There's one thing I've learned in now 40 years of teaching, that most people do not really know the meaning of the words they use. I hope you agree. They don't really know. And one reason is because most people don't think for themselves. Consequently, if you're going to pray and use words, you better get inside of those words. Get into the soul of the language we use when we communicate with God. We're talking to another human being, like I'm speaking to you. I'm using words. But what a difference between using words and I knowing what words I'm using and you understanding, mind you, understanding the meaning of each word that is spoken. And remember, it's not just understanding the meaning of the words that other people use, but the meaning of my own words. Finally, number 90. This may sound strange, but St. Ignatius speaks of measured rhythmic recitation. Now, the form of the rhythm or the measure He is unimportant. Various ways in which this can be done. For example, with each breath of well, it should be aspiration. One should pray mentally while saying a simple word, for example, the Our Father, or some other prayer. And I say this recommendation should not be taken lightly. It associates the spontaneous bodily rhythm of breathing or any other. If uniting ourselves with God in prayer. In other words, to associate things we are doing. I'm opening the door. Yeah. It is not. I'm not with gymnastics. Not a gimmick. But that the actions that I perform, like breathing, the example that he uses, that I somehow cultivate the habit of making God, associating God with what I am doing. Thus, by the way, how many of you have been coming to Ann Arbor? Remember I asked how many have 40 water funds? No. You know, we invest several gallons of 40 water, more. I've never had so much 40 water in my life. There's profound wisdom, the genius of mysticism behind that. Walk into a room. What should be the first thought in our minds? God. And it must be the heating system here at the university. But I fill the holy water font with holy water to the brim at night. By evening, is bone dry. So I always have holy water ready, and this is a ritual. You follow my logic? Certain things you come to associate with God. So, before I retire, I know for sure I just filled it with holy water the night before. It dried. So I have holy water right next to my razor, and bring it over and put the holy water in. No, it's 24 hours later, I have to refill it. Does this thing make sense? In other words, this is just illustrative of what St. Ignatius is telling us. Associate actions that can become, can really become, sheer mechanical movements of the body. Associate those actions somehow with the thought of God. What we're doing, we will do anyhow. But then, if there is something which will put a thought in our mind, remember? Some sense experience which will then do what? Produce a thought. Which all thoughts come from. That still makes sense. You know, two of our lives are the same. I mean, exactly the same. This then is the final meditation on associating what we do with our body to what we should be doing with our souls. And that is why it is such a good idea to have, you know, sacred pictures, statue of Our Lady, other sacred art, having a medal. Because as we begin, so we can close. You're not angels, you're human beings with a body and a soul. But we must plan our lives in such a way that our body will be a channel of grace for the soul. That we consciously and deliberately associate some bodily function with something that we want to have in our minds. We plan it beforehand. Well, from the initiate days on, we'd never dare turn in the paper without having AMDG BBMH on the top of the page. AMDG, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloria, for the greater glory of God. And BVMH, F, and understood. H, Honorem, Beati Virginis Maria, so for the greater glory of God and the honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this afternoon I had to make a call to Rome, and my chart, what I'm going to talk about, without a second thought, put down on top of that listing AMDG and BVMA. That makes sense. Something which affects the senses, that then will bring God and Our Lady, in other words, that the invisible world, which St. Paul does, is a real world, invisible to the senses, but visible to the eyes of the mind, and especially to the eyes of the mind of God. God is always thinking of us, right? God is always talking of us, always, always. The trouble is, we're not always listening to Him. What a safe statement. These are not, I repeat, mechanical gimmicks. Oh no. They are profound genius in associating our body with our soul, so the two will work together. Because remember when we began the iron law of destiny, it all begins in the senses. And my clock says 8:30.